I too turn to the book of John, chapter 4. Book of John, chapter 4. I'd like to read verses 3 through verse 10. He, that would be Jesus, left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria. Then, there's an order here. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour, or noon. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. So it's just Jesus and this woman of Samaria. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. This, of course, is just a portion of Jesus meeting, conversing with, and saving a woman of Samaria. The record continues down through verse 29. John is the only gospel writer to record this account. It's a very, very instructive account. It's something we've preached from several different applications, and it has a wide variety of application. There's many spiritual truths that we see in this account concerning Christ, concerning you and I, concerning evangelism. There's just so much. In John chapter 3, you have the record of Jesus' encounter with Nicodemus. And the contrast between these two accounts is very instructive. In John chapter 3, Jesus encounters a man. In John chapter 4, he encounters a woman. In John chapter 3, the person is named Nicodemus. In John chapter 4, the woman is unnamed. In John chapter 3, the man is a lofty lawmaker. And in John chapter 4, you have a lowly outcast. In John chapter 3, Jesus encounters a Jew. In John chapter 4, a Samaritan. What took place in John chapter 3 occurred at night. What took place in John chapter 4 took place around noon. You may ask, what is your point? The point is, man or woman, it is Jesus that saves. The point is, well known or completely unknown, it is Jesus that saves. The point is, whether socially elevated or at the bottom of the chart socially, it is Jesus that saves. The point is, whether at night or in the day, it is Jesus that saves. From John's account of Jesus and the Samaritan woman, we certainly learn, and we do in John chapter 3 as well, the wonderful truth of the Lord's willingness to receive sinners and the change that he brings into their lives. And today, when the Lord saves a sinner, he does for that sinner what he did for this Samaritan woman in John chapter 4. Now, we just basically want to take our main thought from verses 7 through 10, which is only a part of the conversation between Christ and this Samaritan woman. In verse 7, Jesus saith unto her. And then we come to verse 9, then, that is, following Christ's words to her, saith the woman of Samaria to him. He then, in verse 10, Jesus answered and said unto her. And again, this conversation continues through verse 26. The end result is that Christ would manifest himself to her, who he was. We want to develop the main thought around what Jesus says to this woman in verse 10. If thou knewest, that is, if you truly knew the gift of God, and if you truly knew who it is that saith to thee, and then skip down, thou wouldest have. If you truly knew, you would have responded in an act corresponding to that knowledge. If you knew, thou wouldest have. We want to speak this morning on those who know. Those who know. We have two main points. Just want to generally look at this meeting of Jesus and this Samaritan woman. And then we want to make application to ourselves. But first of all, consider this meeting between Jesus and this woman of Samaria. First of all, it is Jesus that crosses the path of sinners. We read in verse 3, he left Judea, departed again, so he'd been there before, into Galilee. In relation to that fact, we have this statement in verse 4. And he must needs go through Samaria. And we could preach many a message on that statement. But he must of necessity go through Samaria. Now the Samaritans and the Jews were bitter enemies. In fact, the woman said to Jesus in verse 9, "For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans." There were two routes from Judea to Galilee. The most direct route was through Samaria. That's the most direct route. However, it is not the only route. There was another route that went around Samaria through Perea and Decapolis to the southern shores of Gennesaret. And this route was much longer, but it was the regular route. It was a much longer route, a much more inconvenient route, but it was the regular route that a Jew would take because they had no dealings with the Samaritans. They had a hatred for the Samaritans. But on this day, Jesus would not take the regular route. He must needs go through Samaria. This must needs is not necessitated by geography, but he must needs go through Samaria. The reason is because there was a woman in Samaria, and there were others in Samaria that the Father had given him from eternity to save. And we ought to ever be thanking the Lord that there was a needs be that Jesus came to where we were. And that's what happens here in our text. So unlike the common Jew in that day, Jesus was not trying to avoid the Samaritans, but he was seeking some of the Samaritans to save. We read in verse 5, "Then cometh he to a city of Samaria," a specific city. The name of this city is Sychar. So he not only went through Samaria, but we are told he comes to a particular city. But he did not just come to a particular city. In verse 6, he would go to a particular place in that city, Jacob's Well. He not only went to a particular place in a particular city, but he went at a particular time, about the sixth hour or noon. So he not only does he not avoid Samaria, he not only goes to a particular place in a particular city at a particular time, but I believe he has come for a particular purpose, to save this Samaritan woman. He not only comes to Samaria, goes through Samaria, comes to a particular city and place at a specific time for a specific purpose, but he also had sent the disciples away to buy food. So it's just Jesus at the well. Jesus sitting upon Jacob's well. No one else around. Jesus, the Son of God. Jesus, the mighty God, the Lord of all. Sitting upon a well. There he is. He's the infinite one. He's the unlimited one. He's the unsearchable one. He's the immeasurable one. He's the incomprehensible one. And there he sits on a well. The one and only Savior of sinners. Sitting on a particular well at a particular time, I believe waiting for a particular sinner. There is Jesus. He has the life that every dead sinner needs. He has the pardon that every guilty sinner needs. In Him is the nearness that every alienated sinner needs. In Him is the justification that every condemned sinner needs. In Him is the cleansing that every polluted sinner needs. In Him is the reconciliation that the enemies of God need. In Him is the freedom that the enslaved sinner needs. And in Him is the acceptance that the unacceptable sinner needs. So there He sits. Sitting at that well. We read in verse 7, there cometh a woman of Samaria. Here she comes. Here she comes. And that's the reason He's there. That's the reason that Jesus is there. There cometh a woman of Samaria. She's a guilty sinner. And here she comes. She's unrighteous. She's sensually minded. As you read the account, you'll see that she's stuck in a false religion. She's loaded down with sin and shame. And here she comes. The scars of sin are upon her. And she's carrying a water pot to Jacob's well. Again, she's a sinner. She's unrighteous. She's ungodly. She's a rebel against God. And she desperately needs the life, the pardon, the justification, the cleansing, the reconciliation, the freedom, and the acceptance that the one sitting on that well can give. But that's not the reason that she's coming to the well. We read in verse 7, there cometh a woman of Samaria too. Here's the reason she's coming: to draw water. She's not coming to be saved. She's coming to draw water. That was her object in going to the well that day. She had no thought of anything else. She came to draw water. She did not come to the well seeking the Lord. Is to draw water. Her desire is to draw water. Her priority at that time is to draw water. The one sitting on the well, he knows everything about her. He knew her deep need. And unbeknownst to her, He was there for her, and He was there to minister to her. He's there, and He's waiting for her. Salvation does not begin with man seeking God. She came to draw water. Salvation begins with God seeking man. A sinner will never be saved unless Almighty God steps in their way and crosses their path and rescues them. Coming to verse 7, we see now that Jesus and this woman are in the same place. That's wonderful. He's there to save her soul. She's there to draw water. Keep that in mind. He is there to save her soul. She is there to draw water. Two different purposes. Which purpose will come to fruition? His. Thanks be to God. If you are saved, praise God that it was divinely arranged for you and Jesus to come to the same place. Whatever your intention was for going to that place really doesn't matter. If you are unsaved, it is our longing, it is our prayer that Jesus, the one and only Savior of sinners, would cross your path today. She came to draw water. Her plans were interrupted. We pray that Jesus would cross your path and interrupt your plans. Interrupt your state of mind and your objective, your desire, and save your soul. Oh, that you would have a personal one-on-one meeting with Jesus Christ. It's an absolute necessity if you're going to be saved. You can't be saved and avoid this one-on-one meeting with Jesus Christ. You may be in a room of 5,000 people, but I'm telling you, if the Lord comes to save you, it'll be a one-on-one meeting. Even though there's many other people in the room. So they're in the same place. And he engages her in a conversation. Jesus saith unto her. He did so with a purpose. He spoke first. Had he not done so, the woman would have never acknowledged his presence. She's only there to draw water. Jesus saith unto her. Jesus, the Holy One, the spotless one, the pure one, speaking unto this Samaritan. The Jews would not speak unto them. But there's Jesus engaging in a conversation with a Samaritan. Had Jesus not spoken to her, here's what I believe would have happened. She would have filled her water pot and went home. Never knowing who was that man at the well. Never seen him before. She'd never known. Had he not initiated the conversation, she would have drawn the water, and went on her way. But Jesus initiated a conversation with this Samaritan woman that he intended to save. And the conversation would lead to this woman's salvation. When the Lord saved your soul, who started the chain of events? God did. Guaranteed. We read, Jesus saith unto her, give me drink to drink. He immediately calls her attention to himself. Give me. Again, she's only there to draw water. And had he not initiated this conversation, she would have gone her way, giving no recognition to him had he not first spoken. Jesus said unto her, give me to drink. Notice verse 9. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him. Then, after he spoke to her. Then, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest of me, which am a woman of Samaria? She recognized that he was a Jew. Perhaps by his dress, his manners, she knew he was a Jew. But she was ignorant of who he was. There's Jesus. And all she hears, all she sees, is a Jew. Hear her say, thou being a Jew. Right before her, speaking directly to her in an audible voice, was Jesus Christ, God in a body of flesh, and all she can see is a Jew. Right before her, speaking directly to her, is the holy, spotless, pure, impeccable Son of God, the Almighty One, the possessor of all things, the King of kings, and the Lord of lords, and all she sees is a Jew. Oh, the blindness of the sinner. Right before her, speaking directly to her, is the only mediator between God and man, the only way to God, the one and only Redeemer, the one and only Savior of sinners, and all she sees is a Jew. Speaking to her is the one who is above all, and all she sees is a Jew. The one speaking to her right before her is the one that she so desperately needs. The one who can help her. And all she sees is a Jew. She's totally ignorant of whose presence she's in. She does not know who Jesus is. And she would have remained so had he not so graciously dealt with her throughout the chapter. She did not know her condition. She did not know her need. She did not know the salvation that was in Jesus. That's why he said what he said in verse 10 when he addressed her ignorance. If you knew, you would have. You read her response in verses 11 and 12. It's obvious that she does not understand. In verse 13, Jesus spoke to her of the vanity and emptiness of the material to satisfy her soul. Verse 14, Jesus spoke to her about that which would satisfy. In verse 15, she has a desire for what only Christ can give. Verses 16 through 19, he exposes her sin. Verses 20 through 24, he took away all hope that she had in religion. And then notice what she says in verse 25. The woman saith unto him, I know
that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. So she had some knowledge of the Old Testament. When he has come, and he's right there, she still doesn't know it. When he has come, he will tell us all things. And that brings us to really the highlight. Jesus reveals himself. Verse 26. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. When Christ comes, he will tell us all things. And Jesus said, I am he. He stood revealed to her. And I believe at that moment she saw his majesty, his splendor, and his glory. Up until that point, the only thing she saw was a Jew. Up until the point where Jesus revealed himself, she saw no beauty in him. But now, she sees Jesus Christ. She sees him. She knows this is not just a Jew. This is Christ, the Son of God. The one and only Savior. He was revealed to her. She now knows who he is. And I believe it was at that moment that she received him. She has personally met. She has personally experienced Jesus Christ. She has been brought to know. Remember, if thou knew, she has been brought to know. Notice verse 28. The woman then left her water pot, went her way into the city, and saith to the men, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Oh, what a change has taken place. The change from thou being a Jew to is not this the Christ? Due to what happened that day at the well, her perception of Christ has changed completely. She has been brought to know. And it was the Lord's work that brought her from thou being a Jew to is not this the Christ? That was the Lord's work. Let's make application. When this woman of Samaria arrived at the well to draw water, Jesus immediately draws attention, her attention to himself. Give me to drink. From her reply in verse 9, she's ignorant and blind of who he is. He speaks in verse 10, addressing her ignorance. If thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that saith to thee, thou wouldest have. She does not, when she first comes, she does not know her need of salvation. Nor does she know who he is. And Jesus said, if you knew, if you truly knew, you would have asked of me. If you knew, you would have done something. The fact that she did not ask of him reveals that she did not know. But through the course of the conversation, he caused her to know. Rejoice if you're one of those that know. because it was the Lord that brought you to that point. The day the Lord saved my soul, I was not seeking salvation. I was not seeking the Lord. I was cursing God. I was at a funeral with the purpose of being at a funeral. I didn't go there looking for Christ. This woman went to the well to draw water. But Jesus crossed her path and interrupted her life. Thank God He still does the same. If you knew, thou wouldest have. If you knew. Speak to the unsaved sinner for a moment. You know many things in your head. You've been coming here any length of time. You know some scriptural truth in your head. But you don't truly know. Well, how can you say that? Because if you truly knew, thou wouldest have. If you knew, truly knew, not just knowing of, but if you truly knew your awful and terrible condition before God as a sinner, as a violator of God's law, as a rebel against His authority, if you truly knew how filthy and repulsive your sins are before God, if you really, truly knew how unrighteous, how guilty, how unworthy, and how unacceptable you are to God, if you really knew the bondage and the slavery and the imprisonment and the darkness of sin, and if you really knew that you have no righteousness of your own to appease God, and you have no merit to plead and claim before God, and if you really knew how spiritually bankrupt you are, if you really knew the crisis that you are in as an unsaved sinner, if you really knew the danger that you're in, if you really knew how pressing and desperate and urgent your need is, if you really knew that Jesus Christ is the righteousness that you need, if you really knew that it's only in Him is the acceptance that you need, and the cleansing and the forgiveness. If you really, truly knew that He is the only way to God, and that only in and through Him is reconciliation with God, and only in Him is the life that you need. If you really knew that without Him, all is lost. All is hopeless. If you really knew that there is salvation in Him for yourself. If you really knew, you would act accordingly. If you really knew who He was, if you really knew, you would leave your sins, you would flee to Jesus Christ, and you would plead, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. If you really knew. Thanks, praise, and glory to God that one glorious day, February 17th, 1972, the Lord interrupted my life and caused me to know. Caused me to know And as a result, I turned from my sins and I fled to Christ. I came empty-handed, bankrupt, with nothing to offer, and He gave me living water. You see, before the Lord saves somebody, He causes them to know. You know what a sinner you are, and you know who He is. Again, you can grow up in church and know of Him, and you can know of sin. But I'm telling you, before the Lord saves you, you will come to know. Truly know. Truly know. It was the Lord's work that brought her from thou being a Jew to this is the Christ. And anyone who has ever been saved or ever will be saved will be saved by God's work, not their own. By God's will, not their own. And by God's doing, and not their own. Had Jesus not initiated the process, she's only there to draw water, she would have done that and went home. And had not the Lord initiated the process, I would have gone on hating God and cursing God had He not done something. We praise God that He interrupts lives. Something struck me. In fact, I'm going to preach on this one of these days. Verse 9. Again, this woman of Samaria, she says there in verse 9, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? She was shocked that a Jew would talk to a Samaritan. This was something that just astounded her. It amazed her. It filled her with wonder. How is it that thou, being a Jew, would talk to a Samaritan? And the wonder of it all, that Jesus Christ would come and speak to a sinner such as me. All the wonder. God Himself in a body of flesh would come and speak to you and I and save our souls. If you're saved, that's what happened. May we never lose the wonder that Jesus came to us. May we never lose that wonder. That's far greater than how thou, being a Jew, speakest with a woman of Samaria. Oh, this is far greater. I was cursing God at the moment when Jesus came to me. All the wonder that He didn't strike me dead right then and there. All the wonder that Jesus deals with sinners. Remember, the Pharisees were shocked. This man sitteth with sinners. Praise God that He does. This man talks with sinners. Thank God that He does. And He still does. And you're a sinner. And your only hope is Jesus Christ. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us first song. Thank you.